Somebody down! Put, 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 put!
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Appreciate Jason Wilde spending some time with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you?
You know what? I appreciate the honesty. We're talking about, you know, just being forthright with how you're feeling. We were talking about how if somebody, you have plans with somebody, and they ask you, well, hold on. The story is, if someone asks you to do something, and you don't really want to, is it okay to just say, no, I don't feel like it? Or does that open up a whole other Pandora's box of issues for you? What do you think, Jason?
Well, first of all, nobody asks me to do anything anymore because I never do anything with anyone. So that makes it easy. Just because I keep thinking about, and you know this better than I do even with Chase, how... the next I'm going to blink and the girls are going to be like off to college and have completely forgotten about me. So we focus on them and hope that our friends will still like us after they leave for college. So I don't get asked that very often, but when I do, I usually just, I'm generally an oversharer, giving too much information. Oh no, Sydney's got a volleyball tournament and then she's got a basketball tournament. When I should just say, no, that doesn't work for us. Which I think is the best way to, that if I were Joshy and I'm looking to take it easy on people's feelings, not just, no, I don't really want to do anything with you, that's what I would go with. That doesn't work for me, but maybe another time.
Yeah, but Jason, can I ask you this? How many times do you have to say that until they get the, they get it where they don't ask you anymore? That you just don't want to do, which is fine. I'm kind of the same way.
Nobody asks me to do anything anymore. And I don't say that with sadness. It's the reality, and that's my own doing. So this is, I'm glad Josh is such a forthright, honest guy. But I'm impressed that he's able to do that because it does feel like, it opens up, as Jen so eloquently put it, a Pandora's box of other social issues.
Jason, how big of a blow is Campanelli?
I think it's a huge blow, Chewy. Like, you know, how you feel about Andy Reid, I think that's how those linebackers feel about Campanelli. And what I was really impressed with him in talking with Quay Walker and talking with Edgerrin Cooper and Eric Wilson is that while he was, you know, he kind of came in with this reputation because of that viral clip from Hard Knocks where he's dropping F-bombs and doing this whole spiel to his Dolphins linebackers. He that was kind of a misrepresentation of his coaching style. And he and I actually talked about something that I firmly believe in coaching, which is you treat everyone fairly, but you don't treat everyone exactly the same. And, you know, he really understood how to connect with his guys. Like, you know, I think I told you guys about this. I had this conversation with Quay Walker when he had started to play really well and that he might be the most self-loathing player I've ever covered. Like, he could not get himself. He's such a perfectionist and so demanding on himself that even when he was playing well, you know, all those fans that thought he sucked, he kind of agreed with them. And I talked to Campanelli about it, and I thought it was really interesting how he was like, you know, went in depth into how important it is to figure out the best way to unlock specific players and how to connect with them. And, you know, he, using Walker as an example, he said, there are guys that you don't have to beat them down to say, all right, you can't do this, and what are you doing here, and what is this? They already know it, and I got to do a little more building as opposed to a little less tearing down to get them to where I want them to be. And so, you know, he's a really smart guy. Obviously, he's only been in the NFL for 6 years. He was in college for a long time. Halfley is one of his biggest mentors. They had always wanted to work together. They end up only working 1 year together. But I think that's a significant loss. Now, I do think they feel good about Sean Duggan. I think they brought him in as a defensive assistant in part because he's been with Halfley going all the way back to Ohio State in 2019, but also in part because they knew Campanile was a good coach and that he might get an opportunity like this.
So with the other assistants, Sean Mannion looks like he's going to be promoted to quarterback's coach. They go external to bring in DeMarcus Covington, who was a defensive coordinator last year, to be the defensive lines coach. I'm guessing you know more about Mannion than you do Covington at this point.
Well, I do. I mean, I did my reading on Covington, and I found a quote from Bill Belichick in 2022 where he just raved about him. And this is a guy who played wide receiver in college, then coached linebackers for Belichick, and then coached the defensive line for 4 years, and then became the defensive coordinator for a year. So, you know, he's got a varied level of experience. So I think that's really interesting about him. But Belichick, you know, and Lord knows Belichick doesn't rave about much of anything, really raved about him when he was talking about him back in 2022. So that's all I know about Covington. I don't know. My sources were telling me that Dan Orlovsky was going to be the quarterback's coach. So I'm really surprised by this Mannion promotion. Now, my sources were simply Mark Tauscher. So maybe that was why that I had bad sourcing. We're only as good as our sources, and obviously that source was poor. But, I know Tausch wanted me to have to bury the hatchet with Dan Orlovsky for always big-timing us after he hit it at ESPN, and now he doesn't big time us because they just invite him to come on when I'm not on. But this was, I don't want to say this was a foregone conclusion, but it kind of was. Like, you bring in Sean Mannion, you get him to pass up on other opportunities at this time last year, including, like, I love this story. Like, LaFleur, first of all, LaFleur approaches him before they played the Vikings. Remember when they got booed off the field in 2023 against the Vikings? LaFleur talked to him before the game because he was the backup at that time behind Kirk Cousins. And he basically recruited him, hey, when you're done playing, I want you to coach for me. Mannion had obviously been a backup in L.A. Behind Jared Goff. And then he was going to interview after the season with the Bears, and LaFleur called him during the NFC Championship game, and Mannion kind of went through what his presentation was going to be for the Bears, and basically Matt LaFleur said, boy, that sounds really good, maybe you should consider, make sure you talk to me before you take a job from them. And he got him to take this offensive assistant job. So my point is that this was all along, I think, the line of succession with the quarterback's coach. And I think this is really important. This is a crucial year in Jordan Love's development going into year three. I thought this made sense all along. And I'm really curious to see, now that he's had a couple years with the old school fix your footwork, fix your fundamentals coach as his quarterback's coach, what a new style former player type coach is going to do for him.
I mean, it's a good thing, Jason, because Dan Orlovsky, you can't trust anybody who spits out the chocolate while eating a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Oh, I didn't know that about him.
I didn't know about it either until Ryan Clark tweeted out yesterday. Like, he's sitting there eating a Reese's peanut butter cup and says, oh, I don't like milk chocolate. Like, you can't just go get peanut butter then. He's sitting there, he's eating a peanut butter cup and he's spitting out the chocolate. That's so weird.
Diabolical.
I don't want to diss one of Jen's colleagues, so I'll just say that that's not how I eat a Reese's peanut butter cup. And especially considering that when it's Halloween, I eat about six of them at a time.
Yeah, I just housed a Christmas tree yesterday. Stole it from the kids' stocking pile. Oh, lovely.
Statute of limitations on that, yeah.
We just had a Christmas party for the family the last week, though.
Oh.
So, yeah, we're good. They're new-ish.
Oh, okay. All
they're
right.
Newer.
Happy New Year!
Yeah, exactly. On January 30, what are we, the first now? 30th? Mm-hmm. What is today?
31st.
31st. Okay, last yesterday was your birthday. Yeah. You didn't tell us. Yes, yesterday was the 30th. Got it. All right. So, Jason, from a player acquisition standpoint, it feels like Packers fans want a big splash. Max Crosby's name has been out there. We have gone over that ad nauseum. Obviously, there are other people that we have talked about as well. But Trey Hendrickson is the name now that people are interested in part because of what was said yesterday, which is that the Bengals recognize he has earned an extension, he has earned a bump in pay, but it takes two to tango, or whatever the saying is. So apparently, it's not a done deal that he will be staying with the Cincinnati Bengals. Do you think that Goody should make a push for Hendrickson?
Yeah, I love him. I mean, he's a really good player, and he's been really productive. How old is he?
Just turned
now?
30.
Yeah, I mean, again, Goody talked about players that are on the back end of their careers. Now, I didn't love the way that question was asked to him, because the way the question was asked was when a guy is toward the back of his prime, which I would say Hendrickson is, as opposed to the back end of his career. But, you know, he brought up Reggie White and said he was on the back end of his prime when we signed him. He was 31, though. But with the way Goody looks at this, this would be a third contract for Trey Hendrickson, and that, to me, is not something that he wants to do. So, you know, Max Crosby is 4 years or 3 years younger. That stuff matters to him. Again, I'm not saying they're getting Max Crosby either. In fact, I got to think that Pete Carroll's hiring changes that calculus. But yeah, he's a really, really good player. You saw it all season long. The Bengals are in a tough spot, right? They've got two wide receivers they need to pay. They've got him they need to pay. They're going to have to figure out who stays and who goes. But boy, I'd be really curious. I'd be really surprised. And I think Packers fans would be thrilled if they actually made that sort of a splash signing. But again, 30 years old just feels like with Goody, not for everyone in the NFL, but for Goody, that seems like maybe a milepost that he's not quite so sure about signing a guy at that point.
But Jason, Goody's MO is not to trade for a player and then give him a blockbuster deal, because there's no way Hendrickson's coming here there's no way he's going to ask for less money than Rashard Gary, because Gary's not that good. Would you agree?
Yeah, if I'm first of all, I don't know how players view things. Like, you know, he's been to a Super Bowl, right? Do you look at this as, do players look at this as, hey, this is my last chance to really cash in big? Or is it, all right, I'm going to look for a team that's going to be a good fit, that I'm going to make good money, but maybe not as much money, but have a chance to have a Super Bowl ring in my career? I don't know. If you were at the back, again, I'm not saying he's at the end of his career, but 30, this is probably his last bite at the big free agency apple. What are you looking for here? Are you looking for the biggest payday or not?
Let me just say this, Jason. I signed the year we went to New Orleans for the Super Bowl, and Keith said, and Keith was in his 30s, so I think Keith was 31 or 32. Keith says, I'm not coming back unless you pay me the same amount of money that Chewy's getting. And I didn't care, because I already got paid, and the Packers did it. So I don't know.
Man, who on earth would ever say, I'm not coming back unless I get the same amount as Chimura? Like, the Packers must have clearly overpaid you that anybody would say that.
Jason, this game is all about fooling people. You know that.
You've done a great job of it, buddy.
I
always respect that about you.
Yes.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody, have a great day. Take care. Be good.
For whatever it's worth, Trey Hendrickson was the only bright spot on that defense in Cincinnati that was oft and duly criticized all year long. He would be an instant upgrade for the Green Bay Packers, but to everyone's point, it's got to work out. He did request a trade back at the beginning of the 2024 season, so, you know, there might be some complicated feelings going on between player and organization that the Packers could take advantage of. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We've got Craig Karmazin coming up next. Stick around.
X-Golf located at American Family Field, open year-round. That means right now you can go to X-Golf, American Family Field, work on your game, and enjoy just the great atmosphere that they've built inside the ballpark. That's right. X-Golf inside American Family Field, overlooking left field, so you get a great view of the ballpark. But then you still get the state-of-the-art simulators that you get at any other X-Golf. Plus, inside the ballpark, menu's just a little bit different than all the other X-Golfs as well. You can enjoy some of the great food, the full bar menu as well. Hey, go get a lesson taught by my guy, Andy Barrett, who's their PGA Pro at X-Golf at American Family Field. Find out more and book your sim time today. X-Golf, amfamfield.com.